Hello, welcome to Spiritual Warfare. My name is Teresa.
And hi, my name's Kay.
Today we will be talking about hope amid serious illness. But before we start, normally when Kay and I close the program, we ask you a question. Kay, what is that question?
The question is, if today were your last day, where would you spend eternity? It's your choice.
Before we started, Kay said a prayer, and she was praying for everyone to have the chance to accept the Lord Jesus before it was too late. And she doesn't even know what I'm going to say right now, and I just found it very moving, her prayer that she said for what I'm going to share and where God is going. And it's just really, really important. If you were to die today, where would you go? Where would you go? Do you know where you would go? When you leave the house, you don't expect to die. Well, I came within seconds of dying a couple weeks ago. I was on the freeway on 30, and there's a big brick wall going down 30. And I was in the passing lane, semi in front of me, semi beside, I was boxed in. And there was a car in the right lane that was going up behind the semi. And something just kept telling me to be careful. We were very close to. It was just a crazy day. And this car, the car behind the semi darted out this close, going 65 miles an hour.
Inches. Like inches.
Inches from crashing me into this wall. I would have never survived. Okay. It was like angels literally just holding this car, telling me, talking to me, watch out. And because I got that warning, I was watching that car and I just laid on my horn and he jumped like this and he went over literally inches. I didn't expect to die that day, but I came close, so close to dying that day. And I thought, wow, God, I know you have a purpose and I thank you. If you hear a voice whispering to you, take heed. Take heed to what you're feeling, what you're thinking, because if I would have not been on the defensive side, I wouldn't be here today. And as I was going down the freeway, something was just telling me about my surroundings. So I just praise God that wasn't my day, my time. But you just don't know. And then, like I said, Kay is praying, Father, for everyone that's listening to us, may they give their lives to you before it's too late. Please, if you're not a child of God, I urge you, because you don't know when it's your turn.
Think about it. God knows our number of days, and many of us don't want to believe that. We don't, you know, but God knows exactly when, how, and so forth. Many times it's unexpected.
He loves us and gives us so much grace, forgives us continuously. Isn't it amazing?
Continuously. Yeah.
Continuously, because yeah. We're such a broken world and people, and we can be good for a couple days and we think we're sitting on top of the world, and then a bad habit will come back into your life.
Right. And God knows that's not where you want to be. I know myself. I've said, Father, I know this is not where I want to be. I pray, I wish it would be just taken away from my desire, taken away from my mind, just taken away. But, you know, he gives us an assurance.
You did it again. This is the 68th time you've done this. I'm not going to forgive you, but he will. Because he knows we struggle. He knows it's hard to live down here. He knows when you have habits how hard it is. He just wants to have a relationship with you.
Right.
And you can tell him, okay, God, just smoking. Oh, my gosh. How many days I've fought and fought and fought and fought that. And it's like, Satan saying, he's not going to forgive you today. You've done it way too many times. I don't care what your addiction is. If you wholeheartedly are trying and you're sorry and you need help, and if it takes you 15 years, it'll take 15 years. He's working with you. That's what I'm saying. Having grace for his children, it's unbelievable how much he loves us.
It is unbelievable how much he loves us. Living a surrendered life, you know, we take it back into our own hands and then we get ourselves in trouble.
Yes, we do.
You know, but praise God for the Holy Spirit that won't let you go too far and
yes,
gives you that conviction.
Right.
And then you go like, oh.
And then sometimes okay. We don't pay any attention because we want to sin or do a bad habit that we used to do because you're like, screw it.
Right.
And then you just fall into whatever it is. And it's like, he still loves you. He forgives.
Yes.
And the grace is just
grace.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Well, Miss Kay.
Yes.
We're going to start Hope Amid Serious Illness. What is the Bible verse?
Isaiah 41:13. I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you.
Ooh. As I write this chapter, I have just completed my semi-annual CT scan. For nearly 20 years, I've been making this round-trip journey to the Scripps Clinic in La Jolla, California. It all began in 1994 when I was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. I arranged to receive chemotherapy at Scripps, nearer to my home. With each passing year, the staff there has risen higher on my list of heroes.
It was on my first day at Scripps that I met Dr. Alan Savin, an oncologist. After 2 decades, he still examines me twice yearly. He and Dr. Charles Mason, who presided over my stem cell transplant, saved my life.
Make no mistake, to God be the glory. He and only he holds my life in his hands. But I also know that he raises up caring and gifted people to apply their skills at God's agents in delivering his gift of health. I'm so grateful for these talented specialists, and I let them know it in every way I can.
I won't recount all the details of my bout with cancer. You can find them in my book, When Your World Falls Apart. But here in this book about hope in the face of fear, I can't help but to revisit those memories. People know I'm a pastor, and they know my thoughts on spiritual issues. Therefore, they want to know whether I was afraid as I struggled with cancer. I'm more than happy to answer that question, but I must warn you that it may be difficult for you to truly understand what I'm saying. Cancer is one of those subjects that can't be comprehended secondhand. It's larger than life. It carries such powerful implications that it changes a person forever. Whenever I open the door at Scripps, the feelings come flooding back. Even though I've had consistently good reports for 2 decades, the good news never quite washes out the memory and emotions of those uncertain times. So was I afraid? Is it fear that comes creeping back even now? Here's what I wrote in that previous book.
Absolutely. I was desperately afraid. There's no disputing that. Was I afraid to die? No. I'm not afraid to leave this life. Although I'm not eager to do so either. A good bit of my fear focused on losing precious years with the people I love. Some of it was simply about pain. Some of it was about the unknown. How would you respond to the news that you were suffering from a possibly fatal disease? Imagine the thoughts and feelings that might flood your heart at such a time. And you'll know the same things I experienced.
Missionary Isabel Kuhn wrote a book entitled In the Arena, in which she explains a wonderful truth. A life filled with problems and setbacks can become a life filled with unique tools for sharing the gospel. Every issue she faced brought one more opportunity to glorify God through the wisdom she learned. In her final chapter, Isabel told of how she coped with breast cancer. Health became her great concern, and knowing how cancer could spread, her natural impulse was to panic and anticipate the worst. If she coughed, it must be lung cancer. A toothache meant mouth cancer. Every minor ache or twinge was a harbinger of dire health consequences. She learned that disease is the host of fear.
Eventually, however, Isabel learned that Christ overcomes every fear. That message can change the world, and it can change your life. Miss K, we're going to close with that. And the next time we meet, we're going to talk about the prevalence of disease.
Have a good week. If today were your last day, where would you spend eternity? It's your choice.
That's funny because Miss K says, how do you say it?
If today were your last day, where would you spend eternity?
And this is how I say it. If you were to die today, where would you... I'm not thinking it's funny, but I'm just saying it's just two different the way we...
Perspectives.
Yeah, two different perspectives. I'm like, if you were to die today, and Kay's like, if today were your last day. Oh, that's too funny, Miss Kay. Anyway, we will see everybody next week.
Thank you.